It's time for Growing Help, the show determined to grow up hearts open to pursue the extraordinary! Because you are extraordinary! And now, it's your host, Catherine Lang.
Hello there and welcome to Growing Hope, the show where we invest in planting seeds of hope, nurturing seeds of hope, and growing seeds of hope so that we can spread hope to the world. Because when hope grows, it will change the world. I am Catherine Lang, your Hope Smith extraordinaire, and we are on this journey to set a solid foundation of hope in our lives so that we're positioned to share that hope with others. This week, our focus is on the definition of hope, because the world has absconded with a lot of words that the scripture deems powerful. Love, hope, faith. The world has turned, even relationships, the world has turned them, even church, the world has turned these words into more catchphrases than power words. Submission is another one. The definitions that the world gives these words limits their power. But when you understand and define these words based on scripture, they are the most powerful things that you can wield. Because remember, words are your only offensive weapon. Not offensive, but offensive. There's a very big difference in how you say that. So we're going to have offense weapons, not offensive weapons, when we work on our words. And the definition of hope really will change the way we view hope. So we were talking about this the other day in a group, and I got to really contemplating hope and what the world shows us as hope. And hope is, by the world's definition, it is a desire of something good. Sometimes it's accompanied by at least an expectation that it's going to happen. It's to cherish it or a belief in it. And I began to think of the three things that are often lumped together: the wish, the desire, or the wish, the dream, and the hope. And we give a lot of the same value to these in the world. So a wish, when I kind of walk through it, a wish to me is something that someone else does for us, like the fairy godmother, you know, or when you wish upon a star, that's the star, it's the wishing on the star that makes it happen. So a wish is someone else, and it's all the way on the far side of the spectrum. Then you have dreams. And of course, I'm a big, big proponent of dreams. I believe in big dream goals. And the whiteboard of world domination is a perfect example of how to make big dream goals part of your journey. And so the dream is about self. What are you going to do to live out your possibilities? That's what a dream is. Dream has action with it. Wish is someone else. Then there's dream, that is you and taking action. And then there's hope. And when you dig into scripture, you discover that hope is all about God. It has nothing to do with you other than your choice to develop a relationship with God and walk out that relationship. So wish is others. A dream is you. Hope is God. And that's where we're focusing. We're focusing on this hope. And hope is possible because God said it was. Plain and simple. God has made us promises. God has told us how things will work when we walk out a relationship with Him. So this week we are focusing on the scriptural definition of hope, this hope in God. So the first thing is that it starts with a relationship with God. The first point is that without a relationship with God, hope is not possible. The second point is that hope is rooted in knowledge and wisdom and understanding. The third point is that hope develops into a hunger and a need to experience God. The fourth point is that hope is nurtured by positives. And the fifth point is that hope is harvested in a trust, in a bold trust of God and His promises. So that first point is all about developing the relationship with God. Without a relationship with God, hope does not exist. It really is no more complicated than that. God is light. Hope is light. Without a relationship with God, there is no relationship with light. There is no hope. So we need to find ways to be invested in that relationship with God. And it's going to look different to different people. I like to wander around and talk to God. It was great when we lived out on the farm, you know, 40 acres, just me and the squirrels. I could wander around and talk to God all day long. For the record, when you live in town and in a neighborhood, people look at you weird. But, you know, people have looked at me weird all my life, so why change things now? For other people, it's going to be a quiet time, study time, maybe a Bible study. If you've never done experiencing God, it's a great Bible study to take you deeper into a relationship with God, but it is a deep study. If you're looking for a way to read through the Bible, the 90 Days Through the Bible study guide that is available over on snarkyrainbows.com is a really good introductory way to read through the entire Bible, but to do it in a tight timeline. So it's 90 days you'll read through the entire Bible, and it prompts you to write down your thoughts and your feelings. And ultimately, that is the true development of your relationship with God. His word is Him. And when you invest in His word in all these different ways, you begin to develop a relationship with Him. When my husband and I are out walking, I will often have a conversation from both sides of the conversation because I know he's not paying attention. He's in his own little world doing his own little thing. And so I'll say my part, and then I'll say his part, and then I'll say my part, and then I'll say his part. We've been together what feels like forever. We've actually been together for longer. He's been more part of my life longer than he has not been part of my life. And so there are elements of our personalities that we completely understand, and I can answer for him before he does. That's where God wants us to get to. He wants us to get to the place where we know him. We know his likes. We know his loves. We know his dreams for us, his plans for us, his next step for us. And the more that we invest time in him, with him, and for him, the more that becomes our default position. The other day, we went to the restaurant with our youngest son, and the waitress came to ask him what he wanted to drink. I already knew. I knew before she asked. There are just some things, the more time you spend with somebody, the more you know. This is what they're going to do, because this is what they do. Now, occasionally, they're going to catch you off guard, which is why you don't presume to know. But most of the time, when you know somebody, you understand what their driving force. So we need to understand God's driving force for our lives. The only way we're going to do that is to spend time with Him in His Word, getting to know what He says. So find ways to be invested in knowing God so that you begin to understand and embrace hope for this journey. The second point is about how hope is rooted in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We have to know what the word says about hope and understand what that means in our lives and for our lives in order to be able to hold tight to hope and to utilize hope and to wield hope like the weapon that it really is. Words have so easily been challenged, changed, overtaken. The first one I think about is submission. And I've written several times about submission and the power of submission and how we are, it is not about us. It's not about being a doormat. It's not about a lot of the pictures that the world has portrayed when it comes to submission. But submission is a very powerful word because it puts you in alignment with the power of God. And the more I understood submission, the easier it became to be submissive and not timid by any shape, form, or fashion. Nobody who has ever met me has ever said, you know, she's very timid. But I am continuing to hone the ability to be submissive because I've come to understand it. And the same thing is true of hope. We have to come to this place where we truly understand what hope is and what hope means in the scripture. We often think of hope as this wispy thing that is just kind of out there in the air, in the atmosphere. But hope is very tangible. It is a confidence. It is a understanding. It's an expectation that what is said is going to be. But you can't have an expectation of what is said if you don't know what has been said. And if you don't know what has been said, then you can't understand how it applies in your life. I've heard many times that, especially when it comes to the Old Testament, that the words written there are for a time past. But the word is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And if the word is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, there is something of value in each and every word that has been put down. The key is to get to know those words so much that you see things. If you've ever watched a Marvel movie, Marvel's a really good example of in real life, watching things over and over again until you see things that you didn't see before. There's a lot of things that are going on in those movies that you won't catch if you just breeze through it one time. If you fast forward through the movie, you're not going to get any of it. The Secret Life of Pets is another one. By the time we'd watched it through the third or fourth time, we were seeing elements of things going on all over the screen. And it was interesting to get to know the movie better. But we don't always do that with words, especially with the scripture. We'll hear a little bit here and hear a little bit there, and we'll maybe read a little bit here and a little bit there. But when you sit down and you read through the whole book, like a book, then you begin to see things that you didn't see before. My dad and I have had this conversation that he has read through the Proverbs probably every month of his life for decades. And the other day he came across a word that he had just read over, Ford, F-R-O, as opposed to Ford, F-O-R. And that is a completely different word, but he had been reading it as Ford because that's what his brain did until this day. Because the more you invest in the word, the more you get to know the word. And when you know the word, you will begin to understand how it applies in your life right now. But you have to know it for you. Nobody else can know the word for you. Nobody else can tell you how the word applies in your life. It goes back to that first point, that relationship with God. That personal relationship with God is going to direct you in your journey in the word. So be invested in God, be invested in his word, and put it in your heart by putting it in your eyes and in your ears so consistently that it becomes natural and you begin to see things even around the edge of the screen. The third point is that hope develops more and grows bolder as a hunger and need to be with God grows. They run parallel to each other. The more that the God is your focus, the more you will have hope as your focus. So we have to be diligent in investing in God so that that becomes a natural part, almost as natural as breathing. So that when you're not invested in God, something seems a little off kilter. I got up the other morning and nothing, actually nothing was going right. The computer messed up, the water line broke, I spilt milk. Actually, my son spilt milk everywhere, an entire gallon of milk, and I was just off kilter. And then I remembered that I had not invested any time in my scripture study for the morning. And when I took the time to stop and invest in that relationship, you know, everything didn't get fixed, but I felt more balanced. And that's really what happens when you have a hunger and need for that relationship. It doesn't make everything perfect, but it gives you balance and peace through the moments that you're going through. It gives you, it's like a warm hug or a warm blanket on a cold day. You feel more confident and comfortable through the circumstances. And so the more that you have invested and the more you invest in a relationship, the more you feel better for that relationship. One of my closest friends, Mandy, lives down in Florida now, but in school, because her last name was almost identical to my last name, we sat next to each other because all the classes sat us alphabetically. So we got to sit next to each other in all of our classes, which probably wasn't a wise decision on somebody's part. But we just enjoyed each other's company, and we developed a non-language where we would just talk random nonsense and really look like we were engaged in conversation, to the point that other people would try to engage in the conversation, and we would write notes that were just that same random conversation. And I still have some of those notes, but I don't get to be around her like I did then. And yet I still hunger for that connection. And when she sends me something, you know, that reminds me of those conversations, or the other day I found one of the notes that we had shared, and it just lit up my day. Because when you have a connection of warmth and comfort and encouragement and understanding, then when you encounter it, you feel better for the encountering. And that's what we're being called to developing this relationship with God that is so warming and comforting and encouraging that we hunger and need to have that connection every day. And when we get to that place where we have a hunger and need for that connection every day, and we feed that hunger and that need every day, then hope is seated in our lives every single moment of every single day, so that it becomes the guiding force. So the power of hope grows, and an understanding of hope grows as we have a need and hunger for a relationship with God. It's all going to come back to that relationship with God, but the more that we invest in it and need it and hunger for it, it becomes a part of who we are. The more hope becomes a part of who we are. Be invested in developing such a need and hunger for God that hope is always part of your day. The fourth point is how hope is always going to be nurtured by positives. Because hope is light, it can't be nurtured, ironically, by the negatives. So hope is nurtured by the positives. And that means that we have to find ways to invest positives in our lives. I was sharing with a friend one time that he was talking about his wife, and he was saying things that were not very nice. And so I encouraged him to only say things that were good, positive, and uplifting to his wife. And he then came back to me and said, hey, I'm positive that she's really like this. That's not the kind of positive that we're talking about. We're not talking about certainty. We're talking about encouraging and possibility-giving affirmations. So what are some of the positives that we can be invested in order to define the hope-giving life that we want? Well, we can be invested in the positive things we hear, positive music, positive shows, positive people. I mean, it is amazing how just being around one positive person for a few minutes can change your whole day. Even in the grocery store, if you're around somebody that is just enjoying the journey, it tends to encourage you and give you a positive spin on the journey you're on. So be invested in enjoying the journey. Be invested in positive people. Be invested in positive music and movies and television shows. And if you feel the negativity, then don't include it in your day, if at all possible. So if you turn on the TV and it's just all negative, turn it off. Or change the channel. The second thing that we can do is invest in positive words. Words we write, words we read. If you are struggling to find the positives in your day, sit down and write five positives. Five things that you're grateful for. The pastor was talking today about an attitude of gratitude and how we have to be willing to seek out a positive, thankful, grateful life. But we're called to do it all the time, without ceasing, for all things. Good, bad, and indifferent. And the thing is that we have to be so willing to look for the blessings that we keep looking until we see them. And if we keep looking until we see them, we will see the blessings. So you invest in the positive by putting it into your eyes and into your ears until it comes out of your heart, until it becomes the thing that you absolutely, positively are going to find. Be invested in the positive so that you are growing up the hope that you need for the journey. Hope is defined in the positives. The fifth point is hope is harvested in trust. Now, in order to have trust in someone or something, there has to be a relationship, an existing relationship, existing circumstances that show up that can be looked back upon. And that's why it's so important to have that relationship with God, because the more that you have developed that relationship with God and the more consistent you are in writing down how this journey has progressed, that's why a prayer journal is so valuable, because you can look back from 5 years from now and see what your journey was like. And see where God has shown up in big ways and in small ways. So that little breeze that calmed you, or the friend that sent you a message. You learn to trust in His promises because He fulfills His promises. That's where the trust grows up. Many years ago, I had a Chevy Chevette. And I loved my Chevy Chevette, but my Chevy Chevette had a very rough life. And on multiple occasions, it broke down. Sometimes I think that the company that was working on the Chevy Chevette at the time purposely rigged things to break, because no sooner would I get it out of the shop than it would break down. Like, literally, I went and picked it up from the shop one time, drove it across the river bridge, and it died. And so I had to walk, because this is before cell phones, I had to walk to the nearest payphone, and I just called the shop. I didn't even bother calling my mom, and I said, it's broken down. He said, no, it's probably out of gas. I noticed that when we were working on it, the gas gauge is broken. So we put a gallon of gas in it, but they did not tell me the gas gauge was broken. And so, yes, I had run out of gas. But anyway, So I have this Chevy Chevette that breaks down all the time. And it got exhausting having to walk to the nearest phone to call and say, hey, the car broke down again. So I told my mom, I said, I'm done. The next time it breaks down, I'm literally going to sit there until someone comes and gets me. I'm not going to call anybody. I'm not going to say anything. So if I don't show up, you know why. And no sooner had that occurred than, or I had to explain that to my mother, than my car broke down. And sure enough, about 30 minutes after the car broke down, my mom knew the path that I was going to be taking, and I had not yet shown up, and she called the local sheriff's department, and the sheriff's department came and found me and had me towed. But I trusted in my mom to make that phone call if I didn't show up. When we were struggling financially, and I've mentioned this before, how I had to develop a personal relationship with the Word concerning our finances, but we were, anything, any extra was a blessing. You know, we're homeschooling three boys, we're feeding three boys, it's all a blessing. And I was wanting to go to the grocery store, knew I didn't have any extra cash in the grocery store envelope. And so I went down to the mailbox, and there was a note, a card in the mailbox. And when I opened the card, it had a $20 bill in it. And all it said was, I love you. And it was God. It's just, that's it. That was all that was written in the card. These little things are consistent reminders of trust. And they allow me to hope in the little and in the big. I know that he's faithful. And if I know that he's faithful, I trust in what he said. And that's where hope resides. Hope resides in trust. So hope is defined by trust. If you, without trust, hope will fizzle. And you only have trust when you have that relationship. So it all works together. The definition of hope is about having that fundamental belief in, it's not even a belief, it is a concrete knowledge and expectation that what has been promised will come to fruition, period. You know it in your knower without a shadow of a doubt that what has been promised will be fulfilled. So when you have hope, you start with that relationship with God. You develop your wisdom and understanding and knowledge in His Word. You are so hungry and needful for that relationship and that information and that constant feeding of His Word that that becomes a priority. And through that, you begin to nurture the positives. You see the hope. You see the blessings. And that's your fixation. And the more it's your fixation, the more it's your driving force. And finally, trust. You settle into a place of trust. It doesn't matter what someone tells you. It doesn't matter what circumstances show you. You know. And therefore, you hope. I am Catherine Lang. Thank you so much for joining me for this week of Growing Hope, for this focus of Growing Hope. Over the next few days, be invested in looking for ways to grow your definition of hope, to be invested in that relationship, to be invested in the Word, to be invested in positives. They work together. And the more we really pursue hope, the more hope grows up in our lives. Join me over at snarkyrainbows.com for more hope and inspiration, always shared with a little twist of encouragement, because, you know, it keeps things that interesting. And also, you can join me on social media. I am Catherine C. Lang all over the internet, or The Catherine C. Lang on Facebook. I want to hear how hope is growing in your life. More importantly, I would love to see how you're spreading hope, because when we invest in hope, we will change the world. Until next time, remember, be blessed and be a blessing.
Thank you for joining us for Growing Hope with Catherine Lang, where we are sharing hope, encouragement, and inspiration to do more. Visit www.catherinelang.com to invite Catherine to be part of your event or to share your own stories of possibility living. Until next time, remember that a seed of hope planted and nurtured will grow up into a world of possibilities.